All right, as promised, we're joined right now. Does that clear things up? We're joined right now by somebody who covers the NBA and college basketball for CBSSports.com. He also writes for GQ, the New York Times Magazine, and more. He was a panelist on our daily program back in the day. Reed Forgrave is my guest. Reed, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm good. There's literally no better way to celebrate the end of a pretty wild NBA season than to come home and talk with the greatest radio guy there's ever been. And yet, you know, the feeling, despite the Raptors doing something absolutely incredible over the past 2 months, over the past 12 months, there's that feeling of celebration is really tempered by the, let's call it what it is, man. It was a tragedy what happened to the Golden State Warriors over the past 4 or 5 days.
My man, you set that thing up perfectly, exactly where I want to go. So let me ask you this first, Reed. Wild, wild, wild night. How would you describe the atmosphere in Oracle last night at the start of the game and then in the final minutes of the fourth quarter?
The loudest I'd ever been in an NBA arena, or frankly, any basketball arena. And I'm talking, you know, Duke, North Carolina at Cameron Indoor in overtime. The loudest I'd ever been was when Giannis missed, airballed the free throw in the first quarter at Scotiabank Arena. I think it was in game 5 or something like that, game 4 maybe. And I was like, oh, no arena can get louder than that. Well, guess what? Oracle last night at the beginning of the game was the loudest I'd ever seen. Couldn't hear yourself think. And then when Klay Thompson came out of the tunnel, you know, nobody knows what happened to him. It looked like an awful injury at the moment. And then to see him come back out Willis Reed style, that place was just going absolutely berserk. They didn't know exactly what the injury was in the fourth quarter when the game ends. You don't know the specifics of this. You know that it certainly could be bad. But to be honest, the most raw reaction that I saw last night was from my Uber driver, a guy who lived in Oakland his entire life, a guy who'd been a Warriors fan for 47 years. And I was the one who told him that Klay Thompson tore his ACL, and he almost drove off the road. He was genuinely deeply hurt. Like the feeling of loss for the city of Oakland, not just losing their Warriors. I know they're just going across the bay, but Oakland and San Fran are just two completely different places. The feeling of loss, just losing their team, losing their arena, and then coupling that with KD and Klay, I mean, the emotional roller coaster this fan base has been on this whole season, frankly, but especially these past few days, it's not unlike anything I've ever seen in covering professional sports.
Reed Forgrave joining us. You know, I want to stay on that topic for 1 minute. I mean, the injuries, of course, were such a major storyline in that series, and not just Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, but even Kawhi Leonard coming back from his injury in San Antonio. So knowing that, I want to be very careful about hyping a player's toughness because it's a pretty challenging or tricky narrative. That said, just about Klay, what's it say about Klay that he tears his ACL, he does head down the tunnel, he comes back out, he takes his foul shots, he makes them, and then he runs back to play defense?
Yeah, he's like, don't worry, I got this, guys. You know what he said to Steve Kerr after they pulled him out of that play? He goes back to the bench. There's 2 minutes left in the third quarter, and he's like, I just need 2 minutes of rest. I'll be back in. This is on a torn ACL. The dude goes back towards the locker room. He's in the hallway, and he's doing jumping jacks to keep warmed up. It took Bob Myers, frankly, to be like, yo, Klay, you have to go to the locker room now. You cannot be on the bench. You are hurt. I mean, it says everything that his teammates have been saying about Klay Thompson for years. Like, he's the definition of a warrior, not a Golden State warrior, but like a true warrior. I'm glad that you bring that up about like hyping up the he can fight through injury and it's toughness and all that. I mean, we've seen it in football the last 10 years, how sometimes fighting through injury can give you very serious issues now and later in life. But what Klay did with that huge caveat in there of maybe you shouldn't always play through injuries, it just says so much about that dude's character. He's just an absolute assassin, and you have to assume, it's not easy. The mental part of recovering from these types of injuries, it's not easy, but you have to assume that he attacks this ACL injury and his recovery with that exact same gusto.
Reed Forgrave joining us. All right, so let's go back to Kawhi for a minute. Everybody knows that this is not the most effusive guy ever, but you asked him a question after the game that I thought elicited a very interesting response. You asked him how the last few years have changed him as a person. What did he tell you, and what does that tell you about him?
Man, I thought that it was an absolutely compelling answer. We think of Kawhi as just this big blank slate, this black box of nothingness, and I think there are deep wells of empathy and deep thought inside of this guy. He just doesn't want to answer the dumb questions from the media. He's not particularly comfortable with that. He's an introvert. When I asked him that question, it was, you know, how did the past 18 months? How has this affected your family, the way you view yourself as a man and your faith? His answer, I thought, was fascinating. He basically said, look, last year I got dragged through the mud. My name got dragged through the mud. People saying I quit on my team. People saying I was faking an injury. And he's like, I heard all that. And what I learned is that I just need to be true to myself. Just keep my head down. Essentially, just be a good man and good things will happen to you. I mean, if you remember the narrative on Kawhi Leonard a year ago, it's that this guy's a diva, that he's the worst of basketball players, that he's taking advantage of this team that has nurtured him, the best culture in the NBA over the past 25 years, and he's gonna kick them to the curb. Well, maybe Kawhi knew his body a little bit better than the Spurs doctors did, and clearly that was a fractured relationship, and whether it was Kawhi or whether it was the Spurs or most likely both sides, they didn't want to swallow their pride. But I do think that Kawhi has truly become a real man over the past 18 months and is a better man for it. This is a guy who is better because of the stuff that he's been through, not in spite of it. Not just the past 18 months, but you go past his whole life, a guy who's been overlooked, a guy who's been through tragedy as a child. I think he is now a fully formed, not just a fully formed superstar, and the guy that I would call right now probably the best basketball player on earth. But he is a real man who is comfortable in his own skin.
Reid Forgrave joining us. All right, so if in fact he is the best basketball player on earth, and he may very well be, you've also made the point that he's not naturally gifted in the way that LeBron is, or even like unreal as a seven-footer like Kevin Durant, or somebody who can destroy the game like Steph Curry. So how do you explain his ability to dominate games the way he does, and in fact that he might be the best player in the world?
It's frankly through like sheer force of will, like every cliche that you can toss out there about the guy who outworks everyone else. It's completely true with Kawhi Leonard. I was writing my column last night about Kawhi Leonard being the best basketball player on earth. And I looked up his recruiting rankings. He was ranked 58th in the country coming out of high school. There were plenty of people like the wonderful Frank Fraschilla who saw him in high school and said, this kid is special. But he was overlooked by all the big programs, goes to San Diego State. And he was overlooked by 14 NBA teams when he goes into the draft, decide not to pick him. The fact that he is who he is, this is not a beautiful brand of basketball. It's a very old school brand of basketball that Kawhi Leonard plays. But it is, in a way, it's like exactly what your high school coach tells you to do. Outwork people, focus on defense first, and good things will happen to you.
Hey, Reid, one more thought about Golden State. I don't know that I've ever seen a coach quite like Steve Kerr. How would you describe his mood after that game?
Introspective, reflective, appreciative of all the good things that have happened to him, all the blessings that him and his team have experienced over the past 5 years, but devastated for the very, forget basketball, the very personal things that this team have gone through over the past several days and is going to go through over the next year. Like, Steve Kerr, I know he's a politically divisive figure, but I find Steve Kerr to be one of the truly decent people in this sport, a guy who's not going to BS you. Yeah, he can get prickly from time to time, but you're always going to get an honest answer from him. The truth is, this is what is so weird about these finals is that here we have Toronto, 24 years in the NBA franchise, sort of the backwaters of basketball, and a wonderful story that they have created, that Masai Ujiri has created, that whole city has created. It's an incredible fan base to win their first title. And yet the most important story of all is all about the Warriors, whether that's the end of the dynasty or what happens to these two superstars with their injuries and with free agency. It sort of reminds me, in a way, the last time that I can think of this from an NBA Finals was 2011 when, yeah, the Mavericks won, man, and it was awesome. And go Dirk. But the story the next day and for the next several months was about LeBron James and his failure in the biggest of stages. The story right now is about a team that defined an era of basketball, and frankly, they might be over, and you can't think of a more painful way for them to be over.
It's well said. So a final thought then about Toronto. What about Kyle Lowry? He had taken so much heat in the past. What do you make of the way he showed up in this series, and especially last night?
Just awesome. Awesome. Like the ultimate Philly point guard, a guy who's been, you know, I don't want to like build up the me against the world thing, but let's be honest. There's one thing your average NBA fan would have said about Kyle Lowry. It's dude can't do it when it matters most. Dude did it when it matters most. He had some huge games from a scoring side this series and these entire playoffs. But in a bigger way, he was just the heart and soul of that team. The little things that he does on a basketball court, that's the reason the Raptors are who they are. Kawhi Leonard is the one who could take them to the next level, but it's Kyle Lowry who was the connective tissue for this team. And, you know, without Kyle Lowry, Toronto Raptors aren't NBA champions. That's a really cool thing to say.
He covers the NBA and college basketball for CBSSports.com. He also writes for GQ, the New York Times Magazine, and more. And again, a panelist from our TV show, our daily TV show back in the day. Reed, great job. Really nice to have you back on, and I appreciate your thoughts on all of that.
All right, my man. Thanks, Jim.
Dude, talk to you soon. Reed, well done. Nice job. Reed Forgrave.